Hello, everyone. I would like to introduce Dr. Gordon Warner today as our guest. Dr. Warner, I think, is one of the most unusual guests that this program has ever had. He has a distinguished career as a professor of history and also as an educational administrator. But what makes him very unusual is that he holds the seventh dan in Kyoshi in Kendo and also the sixth dan in Iaido. He is going to tell us what fascinated him about Kendo and what he thinks about Kendo as a non-Japanese player today. Welcome to our program, Dr. Warner.
Thank you very much, Dr. Higa, and thank you for inviting me here.
We're very much honored that you could come. First, would you please tell us how you got interested in Kendo?
When I was in junior high school in California, Southern California, we had a great many Japanese in the area. And some of my Nisei friends asked me if I wanted to go to a Chambara movie. I was intrigued by what I saw. And from that time on, I became almost a fan of Japanese samurai films.
This was before the war, wasn't it?
Yes, indeed. I was a high school student, 1927, somewhere in there.
I see. I'm sure there weren't too many Americans who were interested in so-called Chambara movies then.
No, quite the fact. I was the only one that was in the theater, and probably they wondered, had I gotten in there by mistake? I found them fascinating, though, and like the first motion picture that I can remember was the Seven Dog Samurai, Satome Hakenden no Samurai.
Yes.
I found that intriguing. And then they had Tangizazen, then they had Chushingura. Mm-hmm. And I found the comparisons very difficult to make. Because one was serious, you see, yes, and the other was frivolous.
Yes. And did you begin training yourself in one of those dojos in California?
Well, no, quite the contrary. First, the equipment had to be special made. I do have rather large hands, and
yes,
being 6'4", it was difficult to find any kind of bogu that would match. Although I did practice with a boken. That was the first introduction.
Yes. But you weren't satisfied with the situation in California or with what was available to you in California, so you decided to come to Japan.
Indeed. I was able to have a sponsor in Japan who introduced me to one of his dojo, which was the Kodansha.
Once again, this was before the war.
Oh, yes. I arrived in 1937 in Yokohama, exactly 44 years and this August. 44 years ago.
44 years ago, yes. And you went to one of the dojos in Tokyo?
Well, yes. I went to the Noma Dojo.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, at that time, it was called the King Publishing House.
Yes.
And I have a very rare picture here that makes me feel quite young again. Here I am at the Kodansha in the Noma Dojo in 1937. They did have excellent food, Misoshiro, Takawan, and Wimboshi. I was very happy to be able to practice there.
Well, how long did you stay in Japan at that time?
About 3 years, two and a half years.
I see.
Then I came back to Hawaii, started in Hawaii, and then came back to the States.
Mm. Before you left Japan after 2 years of stay, what was the dan that you obtained?
I received a shodan. It was rather embarrassing, though, after the hostilities, because it came from the Dai Nippon Budokuden. And General Hayashi signed his paper, signed the paper with his han. Very interesting.
I see. Now, tell us, what are some of the fascinating aspects of Kendo as a non-Japanese player?
Well, I think some of the fascinating aspects, of course, is the history, the long history of some 2,000 years in the life of the samurai, and then the 1,000 years that you can go back, trace back through each period and find a specific swordsman who was especially good at either archery or spear or sword or whatever it may be. And this is intriguing. And then, of course, I think the history of it being written in the Ogasawa Ryu, telling in detail how you act and how you are supposed to dress. I think this was the most intriguing facet of it. Mm. The fact that you could trace each one of the actions to documents. I like that. As a historian, I found that very intriguing.
In other words, you're saying that Kendo possesses some characteristics that few other, if not no other sports possess.
Well, I don't want to put coal on anyone's head.
You don't have to name any sports here specifically.
I think that within this art, it's not a sport. I must correct the point there. It is an art.
Mm.
And there is much more to it than just taking a shinai and bashing someone on the head. No, no. That's nonsense.
Mm.
The patience within oneself that you develop, the actual participating in action.
Yes.
And, of course, one of the intriguing facets is that even after you make your point, you continue to go on. And I think this is very vital because it's something that we all have in our system, and you see it on the highway all the time, is this aggressiveness.
Mm.
And it's marvelous to get rid of it in Kendo. You get positively relaxed afterward. You're exhausted because you put all of your energy, all of your spirit into this action.
Mm.
It's really, I think, mayhem. You have to call your points, so therefore we come into what is called the coordination between the mind and the body.
Mm.
Because as you move, you must think. You see your point, you see the total person.
Mm.
As he moves, you see the opening and you attack.
Mm.
This, I think, is the intriguing facet of this art, which is called Kendo, which, of course, as you know, just led into the development of equipment to protect a person against what is called the Boken.
Yes.
They used that in the beginning, and you could get hurt seriously.
So you've mentioned the tradition, formalities, patience. Are there other aspects? How about the aspect of mental disciplining?
Yes, I think this is probably the most difficult of all of the facets of EI and Kendo for a foreigner to achieve.
Yes.
The mental discipline. You say patience, as you know so well, is a virtue of life.
Mm.
But we want action. We just cannot simply hold back as a Westerner. We want to go ahead. We want to charge. This is the most difficult, I think, aspect of any of the arts in Japan. The contemplation, the philosophy. And I think that was the most difficult.
Mm.
Yet this is the most rewarding of all.
Mm.
Because now, after 44 years, I can sit back and think before I act.
Ah.
But I do this, I act and think one and the same.
Mm.
So you see,
yes.
This is what I learned from this art.
So as a result, at least one result of this sort of mental disciplining, you gain a self-control?
Ah, yes, which is very essential today. Yeah. I think it's nonsense for anyone to say, by participating in one of these martial arts, I don't like the word martial because it is not a connotation you can use today. I would say in these arts and expect to understand the Japanese people today.
Mm.
That's nonsense. But through the art, you can understand the long history of Japan and the participation of people in their daily life, how it was regulated by the Ogasawa Ryu, and each one of the steps in the custom, the manner. Mm. There's a way of doing it. And I think this is precisely what the Japanese people are losing today.
Mm.
They are westernizing their own traditions and custom. And I don't think this is what they should do. Of course, I should not speak, although I am now a resident of Japan, but I feel very serious about this.
So I use the word sport because some of us associate Kendo with the Western fencing, and fencing is one of the sports that are introduced in the Olympic Games.
Yes.
But you think Kendo is an art and fencing is a sport?
I think fencing also is an art if you take each one of the European styles.
Mm.
But let's come back to the point you raised here. We know that judo is part of the Olympic Games now, officially.
Yes.
And I think with the rise of Kendo as a sport, if we must use that term, I think perhaps they could include this as well.
Mm.
And I think with the Europeans and the Americans and the South Americans participating as they are in this field, I think we'll see this come someday.
Mm. It may not be fair, or it may be even dangerous to compare kendo with the fencing, but...
Well, no, I don't think that you can compare it, because there are two different styles. And many a kendoist has defeated a fencer simply because of the agility in the shinai.
Yes.
You see, when you take a foil, you are in a side position. When we take the shinai, we are in a direct position. We are facing our enemy, our opponent is there, and we wait, you say. But we also can use one hand in any direction we want for hidari, or left or right head attack, ensuki, etc. Where the foil is here, we wait and then make our point. This is where patience comes in.
Now, you returned to the United States in 1939, and then that unfortunate war broke out, and then something terrible physically happened to you, I understand. What was that?
Well, this is merely one of the casualties of war. I got my leg shot off, but that's incidental. I'm alive, and that's the most important thing.
You mean you lost one of your legs?
Yes.
Probably?
My leg is off up here at the hip. I have about a 6-inch femur. That's about that much.
The leg you have now on is an artificial leg?
Yes. This is a lower dorsal pedal extremity.
I see. But you never stopped playing kendo?
No, why should I? Although people do not believe that a person with a leg off can practice kendo, I think after I hit them once, they understand that I practice kendo with some skill.
Since this is the year, international year of physically disabled persons, perhaps you can encourage physically handicapped persons by telling something about your personal experience as a physically handicapped person.
Yes, I think that if a person can participate in some facet of life and fully glean from that things that will help him or her. There's no reason why we should limit this just to men. My daughter is a kendo shodan, and she always attacks with great vigor. And so even if I have a leg off, that is immaterially irrelevant. I am practicing. I am there. And I think that we must realize the person who is with a handicap should not be considered as a handicap.
Now, you told me that you were, you obtained the second dan, or the first dan, when you left the Japan in 1939.
Oh, but I had both legs.
Oh, yes.
Of course.
But then, you obtained six more dan as a one-legged kendo player?
Yes. Sure.
It's almost incredible.
But this is in the All Japan Kendo Federation. They're the ones that said I passed. The judges said I passed. No private dojo gave me this. I practiced against Japanese, and I practiced alone as a foreigner, and I practiced, and I had the opportunity of entering the All Japan High School University student, a university teacher kendo match, and I won my match. And it was rather, I think, very interesting. People came up and said how nice it was, how my technique. They never mentioned that I had a leg off. I felt very good about this.
Oh, really?
And I go to the All Japan Medical Doctors Kendo matches, and they have welcomed me because, after all, my wife is a medical doctor, and I am the Yojimbo of that particular hospital, clinic, and therefore I can participate. They never think I have a leg off. They push me and shove me. Like, why not? This is kendo. I ask for no quarter, and I give no quarter. Except, of course, we must realize that as we participate in this art, you have people who say, well, he or she shouldn't be doing that because they have a leg off. And I don't like the word discriminating. Discrimination is an awful word today. I want merely to have the handicapped person be given a chance, be given the opportunity to show the skill that he or she has acquired. And I think, as you mentioned, this is the handicap year, and I should like very much to see the people in Japan open their eyes and hearts to these people who are trying. That's all.
See, even simply as a non-Japanese player, it's remarkable that you obtained the seventh dan, and as a physically handicapped person, it's even more remarkable that you obtained this high degree. Well, I'm sure some of our audience is very much encouraged by this fact.
I hope so.
Now, we're talking about some of the personal hardships that you experienced, but could you tell us in broad terms what were some hardships or difficulties that you encountered in practicing Kendo?
I think one of the first ones, of course, something that we all have to think about is the equipment. Generally, the equipment is tailor-made. Well, that's very dear. It costs a great deal. And I think this is one of the problems that faces the people who practice Kendo, is the fact that the equipment is now, as it, you know, is all handmade, is so very expensive.
And they are made only in Japan.
Only in Japan. Yes. Well, there are some other countries that are trying to make Kendo equipment, but the experts are all in Japan.
I see.
And this is expensive, about $125 for a set of kote. And that's very dear. And one of the problems that foreigners have, and this is what has been brought out time and time again, the kote is the most important next to the men, is the fact between here and here there must be room for movement. And that is the important thing.
So on account of the instrument,
equipment,
excuse me, you think foreign players are handicapped?
Yes, I do. I think they're handicapped by this one facet of the kote.
How about the physical structure?
No. I think that are the one of the best kendoists in Japan today for size would be, if I may, Mr. Iho, who has just made Kudan. He is tremendous in height. And he has the agility of a very beautiful ballet dancer. He moves with an agility that makes us just look in awe. And there are also some smaller people who have great speed and technique. So height, weight, age has nothing to do with the practice of Kendo.
Right, I see.
Has nothing to do. It's your own spirit and how you practice and how you train.
But since you're so tall, it must be difficult for a Japanese player to hit you on the head.
But they can get do, you see, very quickly.
So do becomes a favorite target.
A favorite target. And don't forget, Dr. Higa, there is so much of me to hit. There's so much of me to hit. You're going, man, so I have to be very careful.
So you have both disadvantages and advantages.
Absolutely. All in one.
All in one. Now, let's talk about the prospect of internationalization of Kendo. Is Kendo becoming popular outside of Japan, do you think?
Yes, I do. I think that Kendo now has reached a point because of the publications. As you know, I wrote the book, This is Kendo. It's been translated into German, and I think it will be translated into another language within a year. But this was written in 1964, and at that time there was a growing interest in Kendo. Now, all of the countries of Europe, practically all of the countries, have Kendoists and dojos and various clubs. And it is increasing. The United States is increasing with leaps and bounds. South America is growing in its interest in Kendo, and so is Mexico. And Korea, of course, has always had good Kendo teams. But I think, again, coming back to this, we have to realize that there must be standardization.
Yes.
There must be an idea that this is, of course, a Japanese art. It originated in Japan, and therefore I think it should be clung to very tenaciously by the Japanese people. But they should internationalize this, make it available. For instance, you asked me about a don. To me, a don is nonsense.
It is.
At that particular point, eight judges are watching, they pass. Tomorrow I may be absolutely worthless or somebody may absolutely fail.
Different eight persons can fail you.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. So therefore, but I would like to see the Japanese people now organizing on the international level as it is, but they have an international level and they have the Japanese level. They should allow the people to participate in the national matches, the prefecture matches. The prefectural matches should open their arms and eyes to these people who want to practice. Of course, they're not going to win the match. They may, but they may not. Give them the opportunity, and that's all we ask for, is the opportunity.
Do you have your own champion meetings in the United States?
Yes, in fact.
They are independent of Japanese
independent
meetings?
Independent. Uh-huh. It's called the American Kendo Federation, and it will meet in Chicago this summer. And from all over the United States, I think there's about 30-some dojos in the United States now, excluding universities. A lot of university teams will come and flock to Chicago to participate in the American Championships. And they're also open to Japanese.
Oh, is it so?
Yes. No objection.
Do some come?
We have no objection.
I see.
You can learn.
You're open.
Oh, we're open. Yeah.
Do some universities offer courses in Kendo?
Yes. In the University of California at Berkeley, when I attended there in 1950,
yes.
I rejuvenated the pre-war Kendo team at Berkeley. We had about 11 members. But again, the Shinai, the Dogu was very expensive, and we could not get the size that we needed.
Yes.
All tailor-made.
Now, I understand you're a co-author of this book called This is Kendo. I understand this book has been translated into German.
Yes, it has.
What is called in German?
Das ist Kendo.
So Kendo is becoming popular in Germany too.
Oh, very
thanks
popular.
To you.
But that has been my ambition, to be the bridge between Japan and the Western world in this art of Kendo and Iaido. Mm. And that's why I want the manners, the custom, and the tradition to be clearly explained. And by the way, I'll have a book come out this November with Don Draeger. It'll be called Iaido. So they must have respect for the sword. After all, Kendo was developed so that a person could practice without injury to his opponent.
Mm. That's the only reason. Do you have any idea of the size of the population of Kendo players outside of Japan today?
No, but I understand that in the United States there are probably over 1,000 now and growing.
1,000?
Yes.
Yes. Now, in judo, many people talk about in the States holding a black belt or tying a black belt.
Yes, yes.
In Kendo, is there such a symbol or a symbolic status that one can obtain?
No, we do not have that. I think the quickest way to identify an individual's skill and technique in Kendo is for him to stand in front of you and take his kamae. Yeah. Then you'll know what you're up against.
I see. So you don't think Kendo is handicapped compared to judo in becoming popular in the United States?
I think it is going to be handicapped simply by the cost of the equipment.
Ah,
I think that is going to be the big handicap.
Yes. Well, you mentioned something about the problems of internationalizing Kendo, the expensiveness of the equipment, and not too open aspect of Japanese Kendo world.
It's one of the problems.
Yeah.
There must be more communication between Japan and these there is an organization, but there must be more freedom in the actions of the individuals. Let everybody participate.
Yes. Were these Shinai and Bokuto made for you?
No, I made this 20-some years ago. Mr. Yano of the Daiichi Senmei gave me biwa.
Uh-huh.
And this is the biwa tree.
Uh-huh.
And I made this boken myself 20-some years ago. It's my hobby now, the making boken. I like the balance of biwa.
Mm. Was this Shinai custom made for you?
Yes. I decided that I liked the grip and liked the hand holding the shinai with a good grip.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller shinais does not fit my hand.
Now, this seems to be a fascinating sword. It seems to have a long history behind it. Can you tell us something about the sword?
Yes, this is Yukifusa.
Mm.
It was given to me when I left Japan
before
in 1930.
The war.
Yes, 39.
Yeah.
And I've treasured it very highly. And I will give it to my son when he becomes 21. But this, I hope, will be passed in our, as it mentions in the book, it is registered.
Yes.
There is no question about the authenticity of the sword. And it will be passed on, I hope, in my family, generation to generation, as modern Western Kendoist, as it was back in the days when it was used in the Battle of Sakigahara.
I see. Well, I hope your son will inherit all the good aspects of Kendo when he inherits this sword from you.
Well, he received his Shodan in Japan. Yes. He's a Nidan in Iai, the same as my daughter, who's Shodan in Kendo, and Nidan in Yeah. And I think they will. I think they will be the bridge between our two countries.
Now, once again, getting back to this problem of internationalization, do you think Kendo will ever have a chance of becoming an Olympic game sport?
I think it will. I think it will. But there's one problem about internationalizing of Kendo. Yeah. In Japan, most of the Kendoists have short hair. Yeah. I've noticed that the Europeans have very long, long hair.
Yeah.
And so recently at the international seminar in Saitama Prefecture, I noticed that everyone had long hair except myself. So I felt there was a way I could quickly overcome this, and so if you'll forgive me, I put on a katsura. So I now have long hair, and I can participate, you see, like Miyamoto Musashi take Nito, and I can do all this. So there's no problem. There's no problem. I can quickly become a long-haired Kendoist and compete with my European colleagues, but it's the only way I could do it. It's the quickest way, and Japan is so unique. If you need anything in Japan, instantaneously you can have it.
So you can overcome all kinds of handicaps.
Oh, yes.
I see. Now, could you tell us more about the future perspective of Kendo as an international art?
I think Kendo is growing so rapidly today due to the fact that books are now published in English and in German and in other languages, and people are becoming fascinated by seeing chambaras.
Mm.
The Japanese motion picture, I think, has opened the door to many a mind in saying, what is this? Can I participate? And they find they can participate. They can understand what swordsmanship is. They can understand what kendo is. And then they can relate to the actions on the screen. Of course, we must be careful. If they look at certain motion pictures, they can understand techniques. But then if they look at certain chambaras, they cannot. So because it's a fiasco. But you can understand the traditions in back of this by watching how they place the sword, how they wear the sword, and the manners, as we mentioned in the beginning.
Yes.
It's the manners. One thing that we have not really mentioned internationally is the discipline. And I think that this is one of the intriguing facets that the foreigner finds in Kendo and Iai is the fact of the manners. When you come into a hall, you bow. You take your shoes and you put your shoes in a proper position.
Yes.
You see your teachers, you bow to them. This, I think, is very vital. And I am sorry to see in Japan that the Japanese are not clinging tenaciously to this old tradition. They're letting it slip out of their fingers.
You see, some of us used to believe that only Japanese could understand Kendo and could play Kendo, but thanks to you, we now know that Kendo can be and is now an international art. Thank you very much for appearing on our
program. Thank you very much for inviting me, and I appreciate it. Thank you.